Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's Most Hated Mafia Thing Geek Podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, once again, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of this week's show, I want to at least say that yes, we are getting into a rocky start this year, but there are big things planned, wonderful things. I know that I did promise you that the Big Kenny was going to be on this week. We're going to do like our 10-year or 10-year in review type of thing, a couple other things that we could do over Skype, but things happen. I know apologies. I'm not apologizing for anything, but things do happen. And yes, it's a rocky January, but we're going to be going into the rest of this year headstrong and rocking it to everything with the events that we're going to be at and everything else. As a matter of fact, I'm keeping it a secret for right now, but I'm kind of announcing that this upcoming Saturday we'll be talking with a cosplayer, and so the same person who does a lot of cosplay, and they just came off a very successful Kickstarter type of fund raising event for a project that they had in mind. So please stay tuned for that. Plus, this Sunday, we're going to be helping Don Ramirez again with him documenting the Frederick Underground music scene again. But this time, he's going to be talking to a show regular that we've had numerous times on the show. The one, the only, Matt Burns. But still, it should prove anything. Very interesting, considering what he's done in the past and what he's continuing to do right now. So please stay tuned for those wonderful episodes that we have planned. Plus, we have a lot of things coming down the pike. Like, I want to speak to a couple. I'm planning on speaking with Daniel Benoit again in regards to various things and this upcoming ECBRO event. I think June. So there's a lot of things that we have in the pike and a lot of people that I want to have on the show, some of which are fresh faces, some may not be, but hopefully we'll have a lot of great stuff for all of you. So please, even though we have a rocky start right now, please stay with us, stick with us. There's a lot of stuff, and I do have content for you. But before we get into that content right now, I want to ask you to join me in a couple of seconds of moments of silence for someone who just recently passed away in the basketball NBA circuit, and that player is Kobe Bryant. Now, as we're recording this, it came out earlier today that he was in a helicopter with his 13-year-old daughter, amongst many others, that crashed. Now, this is very horrific and very sad to many people, including his family and friends, whom for the most part, I don't speak to speak for my co-host, but I'm sure he'd be more than okay with me saying we're extending our condolences to his family and friends. So please, right now, let's give a couple of seconds of silence, or a couple of moments of silence for his family's and friends' loss. Okay, folks, we're back and everything else. To get into this week's show, even though I'm kind of recording things last minute, is because one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is my thoughts on this year's WWE Royal Rumble. There was a couple of good matches that happened today, but it seemed a little bit boring. They did try and did do good again this year with the Women's Royal Rumble in regards to getting that off the ground and establish itself. It's good to see that they're continuing this Royal Rumble with on this occasion every year alongside the Guys Royal Rumble. And considering the in-between matches, that they were, a few people were saying that I was speaking with that the strap match between Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan was very good and something that they didn't have for a couple of years. According to the commentators, they haven't had a strap match in close to 10 years. So it was interesting to see for quite a while. And so, but all in all, it seemed slow and boring for the most part. Even though the Women's Royal Rumble seemed quick and was the first thing almost out of the lot, but I do enjoy it. I kind of like it in a way, but all in all, again, boring. But one of the weakest things that was happening in this year's Royal Rumble was the Guys' Royal Rumble. The number one person out of the gate was Brock Lesnar. Surprise, surprise. For the first, I want to say, almost half the Royal Rumble was him dominating and just tossing people and eliminating those from the ring. And for those who don't follow wrestling, or I should say pro wrestling and the WWE in regards to the Royal Rumble, the men's and women's Royal Rumble are basically the same rules. It starts off with the first two entrants, or the first two people. Then after that, I would say, not just after that, once the first two people enter the ring, the bell rings, then once that bell rings, every 90 seconds, a new participant enters the ring. And the only way to be eliminated from the Royal Rumble is to be tossed over the mat, I should say over the top rope, onto the mat or the floor below. If both your feet hit the floor in some way, shape, or form, the floor below, again, you are eliminated. Now, this has proved to have a lot of interesting matches over the good many years to avoid being eliminated in regards to they were various participants that managed to save themselves in one way, shape, or form, using headstands, being caught by other people and tossed back in. It does get interesting. But again, with the guys' match this year, Brock Lesnar was first out. Now, according to myself included, I think it can be agreed amongst many fans that Brock Lesnar is not liked. No one really likes Brock Lesnar because his matches are too quick. He's the dominant force that nobody could beat him. Yeah, he'll lose if the rare occasion he loses the belt. Within the next month or so, he's got the belt back. And it's not like there in years past that there was usually a group of wrestlers that did get the belt, but it was always a kind of a rotation. But this time, it's always Brock Lesnar, always Brock Lesnar. And in this Royal Rumble, him being number one, and for 13 participants or entrants into the Royal Rumble, he pretty much eliminated. And this was, the crowd was not having this. The crowd didn't like it. I didn't like it. I thought if Brock Lesnar keeps this up for the entire match, it's going to, people are going to leave the WWE in droves. People are going to be canceling their membership for the app and everything else. Now, what the good thing came out of it is, granted, yes, I understand wrestling is staged. Wrestling is not is choreographed, not so much staged, choreographed. But the fans don't know how. And the WWE is not really known for doing the stuff that fans want, meaning that there isn't a way that the WWE for in its infinite logic and brain power would have Brock Lesnar toss out 29 other people and win it just for the sake of because it's Brock Lesnar. Now, what did happen was with it, I'm pulling up my notes here, folks, because, right here, what happened was that about the when the 14th person came in, who was Drew, a wrestler by the name of Drew McIntyre, I had one friend of mine say, yeah, the only person who would be able to seemingly eliminate Brock Lesnar would be someone who is bigger than Brock Lesnar. And the 14th or 15th person that came in was, again, Drew McIntyre. And him and another entrant managed to kind of, in a way, team up and eliminate Brock Lesnar because the match was getting boring. The match was pathetic. And after it, it started to get interesting and like a atypical Royal Rumble match, and I started to enjoy the aspect into it. One of the other things I kind of did enjoy is that there was hints of Edge. Edge hasn't been in the WWE for at least 9 years, if not more than that. And he came out to hear his entry music and see him come out and last as long as he did was good. Now, sometimes you'd get hints that, I want to say this, a lot of folks were kind of dismissing the hints of him possibly being at the Royal Rumble because sometimes wrestlers will, especially the ones that have not been with the WWE for a while, would hint, yeah, I'll want to be in or I would like to be in, and they're not chosen. So it was fun to see Edge be in the Royal Rumble and do his thing. But it did happen to, at the end of the whole thing, Drew McIntyre was, well, the winner of the Royal Rumble. One of the things I want to touch on in regards to the Women's Royal Rumble, at one point, I honestly thought there was going to be nobody in the ring for, at one point, meaning that both, at one point, there was just two women in the ring wrestling and trying to disqualify one or the other. And I thought there was going to be both of them would accidentally disqualify each other and the ring will be empty until the next participant got into the ring. In memory, I don't remember that ever happening. I don't know if that ever did happen in the WWE in years past. So if you're a wrestling fan, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or leave us a comment down below in our pinned post. Or if you're listening to this program via YouTube, leave a comment down below. And while if you're on YouTube, leave a like for this as well, please. As well as hit that subscribe button and stay tuned for upcoming videos and other podcasts that will come to the YouTube sphere. One thing that I want to bring up is that as with a lot of folks in the WWE, I guess you see is they tend to go over and rented lips. They tend to go a little bit far out and kind of do their costumes a little interestingly. One of the folks that usually does something themed that I've noticed in the past, and it's not a far stretch for him to do so, and that is Rey Mysterio Jr. Not Rey Mysterio Jr., but Rey Mysterio. He always comes out with something interesting and with flair. And for those who don't know who Rey Mysterio is, he's not just a WWE wrestler, he's also a luchador. And with the luchador culture in regards to wrestling, they always wear masks. And one of the things that Rey has always done it, had always kind of a flair. Sometimes he come out like looking like Wolverine or Spider-Man or something like that for the fans, or because he's always deemed the underdog or the little guy fighting people bigger than him. And that's usually his stick. He's a pretty decent wrestler. He's been doing it for the past, I don't know, 20 years, if not longer. And it's wonderful to see him to come out. He came out as Batman this year, but some of the other wrestlers that were coming out were kind of mimicking that superhero theme. One of the female wrestlers, when she came out for the Royal Rumble, was dressed up as Captain Marvel. One of the wrestlers coming in for the Royal Rumble, it was someone we haven't seen in a while in WWE, who goes by the name of MVP. He came out as Black Panther. These were just three of the examples. I'm sure there were a few more that I couldn't recognize or just completely missed over the course of the program. But still, this was like an expanded thing. I don't know if it was the wrestlers who chose this or the WWE saying, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, why don't you do this? But for the aspect, I don't think Rey Mysterio had that wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He would just do it because it's cool, or it's cool to him, or it makes him more relatable to the younger fans. But I'm not knocking that in any way, shape, or form. But to continue. I'm going to kind of mix it up a little bit and kind of give you guys some YouTube drama. How would you like guys and gals like that? The reason why I say that is because, yes, okay, I admit, I'm padding this episode. But still, the thing is, I want to bring this up because it's starting to get, dear God, I got to tell somebody about this. I'm going to tell all of you out there. And that is, there is a YouTuber on, I don't believe I'm saying this right now, there's a YouTuber on YouTube, yeah, the irony, he goes by the name of Onision on YouTube. Don't look him up. I'm sure some of you have heard about this person, and I'm going to leave it at that. The aspect of it is that he's been accused of several things, which I'm not going to bring up or mention. Let me just put it like this. He has, because of the stupid, idiotic, quite possibly perverted, and illegal things he's done, he's been covered by a whole crap ton of people. A lot of which I'm not going to bring up here. Just look up Onision on YouTube, and you could find details everywhere. Even better, because I'm going to bring up this particular YouTuber in regards to it, just look up Repsion in regards to it. I'm not going to put any links in the description of this, or spell Repsion or Onision in regards to that. Now, Repsion is one of the bigger YouTubers or more well-known YouTubers covering this. And he's been covering some of the idiotic stuff that Onision has been doing over the years. Some of some of the more softer, kinder, less moronic, less possibly illegal things he's done, or allegedly done, to put that out there, allegedly, because he hasn't been proven in court, all of it's allegedly. Some of the things that he's been alleged to have done is, wreck a, kind of a lake or, where he lives at, somewhere out west, the northeastern part of the country. There was a wetlands in his backyard, not a swamp, kind of a lake area, and he pulled out shrubs and everything else, and in regards to redecorating his place, he tossed trash and other yard trash into this wetlands area, allegedly. And the fact of the matter is, this wetlands area was protected by the state, county, and federal organizations, and he got caught and fined heavily, and he denies all of it despite having been videotaped in regards to this. And the other thing that is kind of one of the lesser and more well-known things that I'm able to say that he's been alleged, and that is that the IRS has been going after his pasty rear end, allegedly, is the fact that he hasn't paid taxes, or not that he hasn't paid taxes, or just that he's overly claimed stuff that he shouldn't have claimed, I think. So the fact of the matter is, that's what some of the things that lighthearted things he's been accused of, I should say allegedly accused of. Now, most recently, to give you an idea of some of the harsher things he's been allegedly accused of, let me put it like this. To Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen is going after him because, according to Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen, he has evidence of what wrongdoing that Onision has done, allegedly. So, and since all this is going down, Repsion has been covering this. And because of everything else, allegedly, Onision has no money and claims and all his alleged insanity. He has claimed that Chris Hansen is stalking him. To Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen is stalking him. Despite being a public figure on YouTube in a way, and Repsion kind of just pointing out all the insanity, alleged insanity, that Onision has done. He's claimed Repsion has, in essence, been cyber stalking him as well, despite the fact that all the videos that he has put up and the Twitch streams that Onision has put up is pretty much public. And including Onision's all alleged crazy tweets that he has put out on Twitter. Now, in recent events, Onision has put out a restraining order a few weeks ago on both Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator and Repsion. And a few days ago was the court appearance. Now, for those out there that don't know, when there's someone files a restraining order or that sort of thing, usually that there is a court appearance to find out, okay, what's going on? Should we continue to keep this? And there should be X number of feet or miles or yards between the two of you. And a lot of people have said that the reason why Onision has done this is to pretty much stop To Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen, and Repsion from making videos. In essence, using this as a scare tactic. And again, from all the alleged craziness that's going on in Onision's life right now, he is pretty much broke. He's probably broker than me right now. And that's just me, my opinion, and me just speculating. And I am on the very low end of the poor scale, so to speak. And he doesn't have any money for a lawyer, so he's been doing all this himself. So what happened was, he went to court, filed this restraining order. And one of the things he did, again, the court appearance was a few days ago. And in the process of this, he served the wrong Chris Hansen. That's right. He just pretty much went out and served or sent this court order to show up at court at some random, I don't want to say Joe Schmo, but Joe Schmo named Chris Hansen in Massachusetts. Now, what I'm doing is I'm bringing up Repsion's YouTube page, because Repsion has been pretty much, well, he's been, well, don't want to do that. Pretty much what happened was he's been giving, kind of easing back on YouTube and to follow, do his own thing, follow his own career other than YouTube. And because he had limited funds for a lawyer, because in this particular instance, because what I think, and a lot of people have been thinking, that Onision did was to shut Repsion up and to stop him from making videos, was to do this protection order and serve it to also Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. But because he sent it to the wrong Chris Hansen, that case got dismissed. And that particular Chris Hansen sent a lawyer to kind of legally ease it up. Good for that particular Chris Hansen. Sent it in requesting the case to be dismissed because he's the wrong guy. He's not To Catch the Predator, Chris Hansen. But it turns out Onision, upon seeing all this, decided, I'm going to dismiss everything. Now, again, Repsion brought a lawyer to this just in case. It's one of those instances, I'd rather have a lawyer with me than, or say, have it and not need it, and then need it and not have it. So, just in case, I guess what Repsion's thought process was, just in case Onision was doing this for me from making videos, I have a lawyer to explain the legal ease of what I am able to do and not able, what I am able to do and what I'm not able to do, and possibly explain to the judge what a YouTuber is. And because this particular lawyer to go to court and, in this case, stand next to Repsion and do nothing, cost Repsion about $2,500. And because, again, Repsion had to dig into his personal savings and, in essence, use a credit card to pay for this lawyer, he had to pay that card back. So he initiated a GoFundMe to help pay for, not just pay the $2,500 back, but potentially, that was his main goal, at least get the money back for this particular lawyer. And he said, if there's any extra that he earns from the GoFundMe, he'll set it aside just in case Onision decides to do a kind of a civil lawsuit and sue him in regards to everything else. That way, he has more than enough funds for a lawyer next time around. And as of this recording, Repsion has got donated, or people have donated, a total of $22,213 to Repsion's GoFundMe, just in case of this upcoming potential lawsuit. Now, people are backing him because Onision has done a lot of crazy things. So I'm going to leave it at that. Maybe we could talk about this. I don't think this is one of those topics I'm not going to be talking to Big Candy about next time I speak to him, whether through Skype or in person. Hopefully it'll be in person next time around when we get going and the weather holds. Hopefully, maybe. But still, but to continue on the last little thing I want to talk about today, and to kind of lighten it up in a way. One of the things I managed to watch this past weekend, or past few days, or past week, call it what you want, was the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. That's right, I saw the Jay and Silent Bob reboot because it was on Vudu. I enjoy Kevin Smith's work and what he's done. The majority of the movies he's seen, I've enjoyed. I understand why he did Tusk, why he did Yoga Hosers, but they weren't really my cup of tea. I thought they were weak sauce, but I for the most part, they were kind of, though weak sauce, enjoyable. This movie was also seemingly weak sauce. Because it, for the good portion of it, was dull. A lot of it was just, yes, it's him playing on the aspect of a reboot. And that aspect, a lot of the jokes were just recycled. It didn't get funny or anywhere remotely interesting until the last part of the movie. The same, let me put it like this. For those of you who have seen the original quote-unquote Jersey trilogy, this is just a basic reboot, a quasi-reboot of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And it's self-aware of it and everything else. Not only that, Kevin Smith not only just plays Silent Bob, but plays himself as well. He ribs himself in several instances. A lot of the folks that make cameos in this are from his earlier movies. Ben Affleck does make an appearance in this as one of his previous characters in it. Not only that, we see the return of Rosario Dawson, who doesn't reprise her role from Clerks 2, but we do see other people return. Matt Damon did return as his Loki character in a bit, but it seemed very out of place. It was nice to see him in the movie, but again, out of place. It just didn't fit. But he played it well. He played it with a smile. Same thing with Ben Affleck. But there were a few things that did not seem to fit at all. But let me backtrack, because as you all know, Show ADD is a thing amongst the Long Coat Mafia podcast. Sharon and Elizabeth did reprise her role as Justice from, again, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Not to mention Jason Lee reprised his role from Brody. Brody from Mallrats. And we did see Justin Long kind of have a new character in this. He's been a regular in a lot of Kevin Smith's movies as of late. In some way, shape, or form, as well as his daughter, Harley Quinn Smith. Now, the thing is, there were a few newcomers in this. And the thing is, the newcomers were pretty much Val Kilmer and Melissa Benoist. Yeah, butchered her name. Now, folks out there who might seem to kind of recognizing Melissa's name, she plays Supergirl, or Kara, in the CW's Supergirl. And the thing is, let me put it like this. Val Kilmer and Melissa's characters were the ones that stood out the most. But the only one that kind of hammed it, both characters hammed it up. I mean, literally hammed it up. But the only one that fit was Val Kilmer. Because Val Kilmer kind of played a Silent Bob-esque type character. Or in essence, he played the Blunt Knight. And which all he had to do was emote. And he hammed it up. And it was just perfect. It was fun. It was perfect. I had no problem with it. And I chuckled at it. My problem was with Melissa's character. She, in essence, played the female version of what Jason Mewes' character would have been in Silent Bob Strike Back, in that particular, the Chronic character, I think it is. But instead of playing it serious, I don't know if Kevin Smith told her to ham it up or what have you. It's just that she was, let me put it like this. I've seen better acting in independent B-movies than she did in this movie. She acts better, in a way, in Supergirl and some of the other things she's been. This was so out of place that, like, she didn't even give a rat. Like, she either A, didn't want to be there, didn't want to be a part of it, or if she did want to be a part of it, she just didn't give or or care. It was so out of place. It was so hammed up. It was, best way that I could describe it is acting. But Arce, I'll go even better. Melissa, I could have acted better in that role than you. And I was in a B-movie called Bigfoot. And I'm being honest. And I'm not being an insult, any way, shape, or form, being insulting to Matt Burns, Mark Byrne, or the company Absurd Productions. I'm just speaking truth in regards to this. It did get kind of fun and interesting at the end. There at the during the credits, they kind of took a page out of the old 80s films that had, or that like the Cannibal Run movies that kind of have the extra, the outtakes and the additional takes listed, like showing during the credits, or even better, for those of you that are younger and not either boomers or Generation X's or anything like that, some of you who are millennials and remember the kind of like the Rush Hour films, kind of like the bloopers that are at the end of that. So, but like I said, it didn't get fun. One of the other cameos that was in it was Chris Hemsworth, and it was fun to see him be a part of it. And it kind of did raise some questions that I wouldn't mind talking to someone who's more in the know, because it gave me a question to ask, because one of the things that they brought up in Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back is the aspect of when they changed hands, Jay and Silent Bob kind of were still owed money, because it went from comic to movies and the images were still being, in essence, being used, or their likenesses and their property, or in reference to what Bluntman and Chronic were based on, in essence, were their idea, and therefore they were owed royalties. And in the reboot, you see the Funko Pops, the other licensed material, and so forth and so on. And even though in the beginning of the movie, they kind of signed away certain rights, but it's something to ask someone more so in the know in regards to the movie industry, in regards to that particular legalese. It would be fascinating to talk to somebody like that. If I had a chance to speak to somebody, Awesome Con, I'm looking at you. I'm coming your way. I got to fill out the application sometime this week, if it's there. That way it's not too late. Hopefully it's not too late by the time I fill it in. That we do get a chance to speak to somebody, probably an actor or an actress that's in the know, that might help answer some of those questions. I'm not talking about a C-lister or a D-lister, but someone who might know a little bit more in the industry than I do, or a little bit deeper in the industry than I do. Now, that's about it for right now. I have nothing more to cover. I did go through a lot of my stuff in regards to what I posted on Facebook and everything else. There's nothing really I wanted to cover anymore. So I didn't want to leave you guys and gals with nothing this week. Or one of the things that came across my mind this week to kind of fill things in was a creepypasta reading, because I haven't done that in a long while. And I was like, nah, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I could have posted up a retro episode. And again, I was like, no, I've done that. It's too soon. I wanted to do something original. That's why I gave you guys and gals this. I do apologize for being kind of lame and kind of quick put together. But still, it's there. It's there for you. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, if you want to join the conversation, you could always send us an email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or leave us a comment on the pinned post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And like I said, just on the pinned post, the topmost post, put a comment there. Whatever it is, whatever is for, put a comment on the topmost post. We'll get to it. We'll try to respond to it. Or you can message us on Facebook through our Facebook page. Again, it's facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. If you search for it and two things come up, one's the group, the one's the page, hit that like button on both and you'll get a lot of additional content that way. More stuff, more so on our page than anything else. And speaking of which, on other social media, our podcast tends to go out on YouTube as well with a static image in a way. So you're able to at least respond to us and join the discussion that way by leaving a comment. And while you're there, please hit that subscribe button. And if you like what you hear, hit that like button because that tells Facebook that you like what you hear and you want to keep, you know, have us kind of move up in the rankings a little bit. Even though that's not going to be easy right now with the number of subscribers we got. But I like all 26 of you. So, that being said, in regards to YouTube, you have to search for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And we're the only channel that comes up in regards to that name. And remember, you have to put the whole thing in. The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Or else you're going to get some weird and freaky and wrong crap. So, what's next? We do have... And you can also send us direct messages on Instagram and Twitter. Both share the same user handle. So on Instagram, it's Long Coat Mafia. And Twitter, it's Long Coat Mafia. So if you find us there, hit that follow button. And if you like what you see, hit that like button. If you like what we say on Twitter, hit that retweet. So, and you can always join in that discussion either way. We'll try to engage with you and respond to the comments. And what else? We do have a Mixer and we do have a Twitch channels in a way. We did stream on both, or at least start to stream on both. One night we did we announced that we were going to be on Twitch. The other night we kind of announced that, didn't announce, but we just hopped on Mixer because in a way sometimes they're both easy to kind of set up and do through our console. But if we want to do other things, which is coming up next month, we'll be a part of a charity stream with victims and villains. We have to go through our roundabout way that we learned using our laptop. So we'll be participating in that. We just got, when it gets closer, we'll let all of you know the who's, what's, when's, and where's. But still, our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/ The Long Coat Mafia Pod. And our Mixer account is mixer.com/LCMP. If you want, you could hit the subscribe buttons or just watch it. Hey, we're not like some of the people that are on Twitch or Mixer. We do understand that following us on these channels may cost money, but what we do ask is that if we are on Mixer or on Twitch, you swing on by and give us a watch and join in the conversation then, because that shows you that you want to be a part of what we do. And we're happy that you watch us on Mixer. We're happy that you watch us or follow us in a way on Twitch. So we're not the spoiled, rotten, you know, people that like, You got to. We just ask you. If you don't want to, you don't have to. We just ask you to watch. More on that probably later on. I'll add that to my show notes to when we speak to Big Candy in regards about that. If I remember, I'll try to remember. What else? Yes. I think we... If I'm missing any other of our social media, they will be on our... All our social media links are on our main page, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And therefore, whatever we miss, you can go there, click the link, and just go straight to our social media that you want to follow us or subscribe to in regards to. As per listening to our episodes, as stated... If you have a desktop or laptop computer, one of the ways you could reliably listen to our show on a weekly basis is if you bookmark our main page, our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And while you're there, you can not only download the episodes that you want to listen to, going all the way back to our first episode, four and a half years ago, July 2015. You could, matter of fact, even the beta episodes are still up, June 2015. So you're able to go back all the way back then and listen to all our interviews, our panels that we scored, and everything. So please feel free to go to our website and check it out. Also, if you're on the desktop or laptop computer, you can also catch us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it now. You can catch us on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, plus maybe a couple other places that may be online. I'm not sure. Depends on what podcasting page wants to snag our show and kind of add it to their collection, whatever, you know. But if you're on a mobile device, I know I'm going to catch flack for that, yeah, whatever, from a big candy. But still, if you want to catch us on your mobile device, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Spotify app, the Stitcher Radio app, and the Podbean app. I do recommend having the Podbean app because just in case Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts don't want to post all the episodes, that way you have a constant way of getting the latest episode, because we do post on a weekly basis, and I try to post something up on a weekly basis for all of you. So, and plus, if you go to our website on a mobile device, the only way you'll be able to snag any of our episodes is using that Podbean app. And I do recommend having that just in case. Also, please note that when it comes to videos, we do primarily go to YouTube and post stuff up on YouTube. But there are times that we post up Facebook exclusive videos because something's funky with YouTube, or for whatever reason YouTube doesn't want us to post up those videos, so we post them up on Facebook. And there are some things on Facebook we're not allowed to post up, but we're allowed to post up on YouTube. And that's mostly Facebook likes the shorter form videos, and YouTube likes the longer form videos. So that's one of the reasons why there's usually exclusive. So again, links will be on our website. Just if you anything, go to our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And until next week, good night and have fun and be safe.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.